such an amateur. That's like an amateur. Yes. An amateur calling hay with turf blood that's going all over that f***ing thing. All over the f***ing bed of hay. Turf's all f***ing. Turf is f***ing. Yep. Yep. You got blooming f***ing flapping and oh my f***ing god, he's f***ing. I wonder who this brave, stupid individual is.
You are listening to Cents Per Mile with your host, Charles Gracie, and his co-host, Paul Gibson. Joined by Josh Haynes, they'll be tackling tough industry topics, asking even tougher questions, all to find better solutions as they try to make sense make sense.
Thank you for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Gracie.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson.
Hey, I'm Josh Haynes. What are we talking about today on this episode, guys?
We're talking about trucking cliches.
Yep, it's those cliches that trucking companies use that drivers have heard a million times, not just the ones in ads, but also the promises that tend to come on the back end that may or may not usually work out.
There's a lot of them out there.
There are a lot of them.
I think this is going to get spicy.
This is definitely going to be a spicy one. But who's our sponsor today, Charles?
We got Decker Truck Lines. You know, they're driven to be the best. You should check them out at drivedecker.com or deckertruckline.com.
All right. Well, it's time for our first segment. And in lieu of 10-2 news this week, we thought we'd try something interesting. All right. So this week, since we're talking about trucking cliches, we thought that we would ask ChatGPT to write us some driver driving job ad copy. So let's see how this goes. All right. So the first ad copy for a driving job that ChatGPT gave us was explore the open road with a top class A truck driving job. Are you skilled and licensed class A truck driver looking for a new adventure? Join our dynamic team and experience the freedom of the open road. We offer competitive pay, excellent benefits, and a fleet of well-maintained vehicles. Take your career to the next level with us. Apply now and drive into a brighter future.
All right. So first off, there's no pay discussed in it. I mean, this is typical where you see a job.
It said the pay was competitive.
Competitive to what? Walmart? And I'm not talking about driving a Walmart truck. I'm talking about, do you want paper or plastic, or do you want the automated system to scan your stuff?
Yeah, it was pretty, it was only bad because it was so familiar. But let's keep moving on. All right. So the next one, drive your success forward with high paying class A trucking opportunities. Unlock the door to a rewarding career by joining our elite team of class A truck drivers. Enjoy generous pay, flexible schedules, and top-notch equipment. Whether you're a seasoned professional or a recent graduate, we have opportunities for everyone. Accelerate your career and elevate your lifestyle. Apply today and embark on a journey towards success. Oh my God.
Man, I almost thought I threw up in my mouth while you read that. I mean, this is typical what you see out there in a lot of cases. They all sound alike. They give you no details whatsoever. They're meant to be clickbait, but they can't even accomplish that.
All right, real quick, we'll get to the third one, and then we'll drop the real truth bomb. So, all right, the last one is chart your course to success. Class A truck driving jobs await you. Ready for a career that moves at your pace? Our Class A truck driving jobs offer competitive pay, excellent benefits, and a supportive work environment. Drive modern, well-maintained rigs while enjoying the flexibility of various routes. Take the wheel of your future and apply now and let the road to success begin with us. So, it's so gross. The thing is so the way that ChatGPT learns is it learns from things that exist on the internet. You know, it's got a bunch of different data sets that are fed into it to provide context, and that's how it generates what it does. I mean, there's a lot more, you know, it gets a lot more in depth than that, but generally, like, the information it gets, it's scraping off the internet. So this is what the majority of truck driving job ads look like and sound like. And so if your ads sound like this, they're cliche and sound like the bulk of the other things out there. And that's you know, like we talked about pay, like it kept saying competitive pay over and over, but that's the thing, you know, it's always competitive. And then companies are like, oh no, we put our pay on our ads, but there's always an up to next to it, which, you know, that's just as vague.
So here's the thing. If they sound like this, you should definitely be employing some help, but whether it's us, somebody, phone a friend, you need to have better ads out there. And this is nothing but a disservice to the industry. This is a disservice to our drivers and ourselves. We should want to do better. We should want more information out there. I shouldn't want to try to clickbait someone into a phone call. I know that's the old kind of recruiting mentality. Once I get them on the phone, I'll close the deal. But be better. Why should someone have to waste a phone call calling someone that they clearly don't want to work for once they get the details? Put the details out there. Save your recruiters the legwork, save the drivers the legwork, and just have a better overall experience.
Well, and I think that's the thing is, as you said, clickbait. I don't even know that that's necessarily clickbait, because this would just get lost in the noise, you know, because it's the same typical stuff that gets said a lot, and it is vague. And the thing is every company kind of has a personality to it, you know, whether it's a smaller company and it's very clear that the owner bleeds into the day to day, or, you know, whether you're a larger carrier that puts emphasis in different places, like, these are super generic, which, sure, ChatGPT tossed out a generic ad, but so many companies, despite having some characteristics that do separate them from the crowd, it's just ridiculous to see that people use these same old adages that, like, they think work over and over, but, like, they've been used so much that they don't work anymore.
And the problem is people have gotten lazy, man. Like, honestly, people have gotten lazy in all facets of business, but especially when it comes to some of the stuff that's more tedious like this. And it is tedious. To do it right, you have to care enough to spend the time on it. ChatGPT is a great tool, but it's only as good as the prompts you put in. Spend the time to put in correct prompts. Give it a baseline. Give it a framework to work off of. And it can learn and do that, but you have to reread that stuff and you have to say, hey, is this something that would work with the audience I intended to get in front of? And if the answer is no, then probably need to go back to the drawing board and freshen it up. Use it as a tool, not the end all be all.
Or even if you're going out there to try to convince someone to make a major life change, maybe you just actually put some thought and effort into it. But
well, and remember, you're dealing with real people. Like, this is the something you and I are very passionate about, is communicating what you actually have, not what you wish you had. Trying to put out there what the experience is really going to be like, not what you want it to be like. If it doesn't represent what you actually have, then fix it and then put it out there.
Speaking of real people, it's time for Behind the Wheel. All right, so it's time for Behind the Wheel. So being powered by and partnered with CDL Life, we have access to their audience, which is the largest network of drivers in the world. So the cool thing is they allow us to pull their audience so we can get real opinions from real drivers about real issues. And this week we asked them, what sort of promises or phrases are you tired of hearing from trucking companies? And the results were kind of all over the board, not some that I would expect, and definitely some that we knew were coming. Such as what we'll get into later, the "we'll treat you like family," "you're a name, not a number," you know, and a lot of different things. But then some of the ones that kind of made in that sort of kind of blew my mind that I didn't think would make it in. But specifically, since they asked promises, one of the big ones was essentially dispatchers saying, "Hey, if you do me a favor and take this load, I'll do you a favor afterwards. I'll owe you one, or I'll make sure something's set up." You know, another one was, "Oh, it didn't snow that much. Other trucks are making it through. Why can't you?"
My favorite was the "safety is our main goal." They should say safety as it applies to our interests. I mean, being a driver myself, I could tell you, you see that safety stuff all the time where people are like, "We're safety first." And then once you get there, it's when it works for us.
Well, that's like one of the other ones that popped in. "Don't worry, we have your back." You know, it kind of goes the same line. You know, it's like, you know, like I've seen a lot of companies, you know, fold real quick when those, you know, those lawyers pop in and they're like, "Oh, you know."
There was a lot of engagement on this, though. Like, we had 362 responses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a day.
That's a lot of people chiming in here to voice their opinion.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. And so, yeah, let's see. I'm trying to see if there's any more really big ones that I wanted to point out.
There's a lot here, man. The big one that I'm seeing, the common theme is we're family. Drivers are tired of hearing that. We've talked about it on the show many of times. They're tired of hearing we're family. And there's actually companies out there where they don't want you to say that, that they want you to have the we're a team mentality, not the we're a family mentality. And I think that has a valid place in business because I like the people I work with. I'm stuck with family. Whether I like them or not, they're family. I can't trade them in. I can trade in a workplace. If I don't like you, I'm probably going to go find a different workplace.
Well, and we'll definitely get into that particular cliche because I could talk about that specific one for way more time than we have in the show. But right now we need to swap to This Week in Recruiting. All right, so it's time for This Week in Recruiting, where we ask Charles, hey, how's it been this week in recruiting?
So we're going to switch up gears a little bit, you know, keep things interesting. This week we're talking about identifying red flags. And part of the reason we're talking about this is because as much as we try to advocate for having your marketing get better to communicate this stuff, it doesn't always get better. Not everyone's doing it. So if you're a driver, you're identifying those red flags. Well, we as recruiting departments need to identify them as well. So what are some of those red flags that happens in the marketing? And it's pay and stuff. If I'm a recruiting department, whether I'm the recruiter or the recruiting manager, I want to know what my ads are saying. I've done this ever since I was just a recruiter. I've requested those links. And we've talked about it in the past episode where you want this stuff. Read it, ask for it, and look through where you see that there might be a landmine or a red flag that might cause you issues in your recruiting process. These things are important to identify earlier rather than later. It's better to be proactive and have responses canned ready for this than it is to be reactive and not have an answer. It puts a better experience forth for the applicants, but it also puts a better experience forth for you, the recruiter, because you're walking into this prepared. And not every ad is created equal, you know. Some of these companies have a nasty habit of grabbing that top 1%, and that's what we're going to advertise. They pick that top driver that never goes home, lives in the truck, and they're going to advertise that as their average. It's not true, and it causes problems in the recruiting process. Or they don't put any pay whatsoever into the ad. That's a dangerous precedent to set because it sets the recruiter up for failure. It also sets your marketing up to fail, because you're marketing to a broader audience than what you would have perceived to get if you were being honest in your commitment to put out good material. So, I mean, these are all things that hinder the recruiting process, but also hinder your ROI on your marketing dollars spent. We should want to market to the correct audience, and that starts by having the right details out there. So we as recruiters, recruiting departments, could always advocate for ourselves and a better experience by knowing what's out there. Google your company, look at your reviews, ask people who are in charge of marketing to provide that stuff, and then go take that marketing material and put it in front of your ops people and make sure it matches up with the reality of what the driver's actually going to experience once they get in the truck.
For sure. And I mean, I definitely, you know, and another thing with that, you know, you mentioned is, you know, the right audience. You know, like we've had several guests on the show that say the best drivers are the ones who aren't looking for a job, right? So if you're going out there and putting out these ads with the intent of getting somebody to completely upend their life and change how they make a living to maintain their lifestyle, like, and you're not actually putting anything out there to show them how they can do it by not showing them the pay and those sorts of things, like you're not going to attract that driver, and you're going to probably get lesser drivers, you know. And having been on the backside of, you know, recruiting and then worked with, you know, hundreds of recruiting companies and see how they do it so I can make their videos and stuff, I see that all the time where companies are like, oh, we'd rather put out a broad net because that's going to bring us in more opportunities. But it's like, where is the quality at? Would you rather get less leads, less drivers calling in that are of a higher quality because they know what you have is what they want? Or would you just rather have a giant influx of calls and then hope when you actually do get to pitch them what the actuality is that they're going to want it?
What's that old school recruiting mentality where it's like data, 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 as much as I can get, you know, just feed me more. And the more people I get in my database, the more people I can market to. And I understand that mentality, but the problem comes down to the quality of your database. If you're a local carrier and you're pulling people from outside of the radius of where you can hire, it might help you down the line if you expand. But for that immediate focus, it's not helping you at all. It served you a disservice. And it goes like that for any offer. If you're marketing outside of your net, all you've done is made extra noise for your recruiting department. But I think it's time to go to an ad slot, and then we can try to make more sense out of this.
All right, so it's time to make sense, make sense. And obviously, we've touched on it, you know, a little bit earlier in the episode, more than we normally even do, because we're pretty passionate about this one. But today, we're talking about trekking cliches. You know, it's one of those things, like, you hear a lot of them over and over and over. You know, the big one being, we'll treat you like family, which I've always said means we're going to owe you money and you're going to spend the holidays with us. Or you're a name and not a number, which typically means, like, yes, you're not a number, but your truck has a number, and that's how we're going to refer to you for your entire tenure here. Right. And, you know, so, like, there's a lot of those, and there's a lot on the back end, like companies, you know, who are like, oh, we'll get you in a new truck. And then the driver gets there and they're like, oh, you know, it'll probably take about, right, it's new to you, or it's going to take 6 months to, you know, just bear with us. We'll get you in there. And, you know, the up to for the pay, There's so many things.
Would you go to work if someone said, Paul, you can make up to this, and not definitively outline that for you?
Yeah, no, I would want to know up front. And that's the thing too. That's the crazy one to me is, you know, I've seen some companies that'll say that, then they'll get the driver approved to come into orientation and use their experience to tell them, like, hey, this is what we can pay you. But I've also seen some companies that won't determine that until they actually bring the driver in for orientation, which is just mind-boggling to me.
And some of the argument there, I'll add in there, because some people have this weird pay scale where it's like, we don't want to market a price because depending on the driver's experience and depending on the driver's records, depending on what we're going to offer this person, depending on how long that they want to stay out versus how often they want to go home. And this goes into a whole nother plethora of issues. Because you have nothing to market other than, well, this range. And that's a dangerous thing to market because drivers are going to look at that. Well, what's that? It makes recruiting hard, but it also makes the overall experience harder for the driver. If you don't know what you're going to make until you've got your app and all your personal data in this person's database, and they're going to now track you for life, it's an unfortunate situation and a compilation of events that have led to this industry operating as such. I think we need to get back to basics, and just like any other job, any other organization, put it out there, be open about it. And that way you're attracting the people that are actually attracted to what you have.
Right. And I mean, that's one thing I've always wanted to experiment with it. I've never had the chance, and I don't know that anybody else wants to go out on a limb, but I always thought it'd be cool to advertise your average pay. Let's say that you do have a sliding scale based on experience, right? Post the actual average. So instead of saying, like, up to your top pay, just post your medium pay. Don't even say there's a sliding scale. Then all of a sudden you get this unicorn driver who is interested. And then at that point you can look at him and say, like, hey man, you know, you've got 10 years driving experience, accident free, and you've only worked at two companies. You know what? We're actually going to pay you 15% more than what we advertise because you're amazing. You immediately have rapport. That's going to increase retention. Doing it that way versus just, you know, versus like, hey, you're going to make this much, and now, you know, you could make up to this much, but we're only going to pay you in the middle.
So there's people that do that. There's not as many of them as we need out there. There's people that will say, hey, this is what we're advertising, but then if they hit this, we'll pay this. Or if they're worse, hey, we'll take them, but we're not going to pay them this. I have mixed feelings on it. I do like the fact that when it works out in the driver's interest, it's a great way to build that rapport, as you mentioned, Paul. The downside of it is, well, there's two sides to that coin. If the driver's not that ideal driver, but you still can take that driver, then you might be having that conversation. But it also leaves a pathway, per se, to that driver's experience of, hey, if you do this, this, and this, you can get here. You give them a pathway forward, which is one of those things that Gen Z drivers like. They like to see the path. They want to know the expectations.
Yeah, but I mean, that's also when you run into, like, you know, I don't know. There's so many of them, like the family stuff. Like, dude, like, I've got a family at home. If I didn't have a family at home, I'd probably have a part-time job working at GameStop and just sit around in my boxers and play video games all day. Cause I'd probably support myself on that. And then maybe a little side hustle. Like, but you know, that's why people build careers, is because they have a family at home. I don't need another family. That's why I do this.
And I think that's what the industry was trying to address. We always do things. We go from one extreme to another. You went from a very not personalized experience, not individualized to the driver experience environment, to overly trying to compensate for that by saying we're family, you know, we love our drivers, but then in the execution, it's lost. It doesn't matter what you put out there in writing. The drivers are smart. They know. And I think, you know, this is where we have to, as an industry, do better. Speaking of doing better, I think there's someone that can weigh in on this, and they're about to be in the passenger seat. Maybe we should open this up.
Speaking of family and memes, because the Vin Diesel memes about family are the best. One of the best meme makers that I know and former driver, Justin Martin, is in the passenger seat.
What's up, brother? Welcome to the show again.
What's up, family? Family. I have to catch a cold first, and then I can do like a spot on Vin Diesel impression.
That's awesome.
So, Justin, you create content for a living, and you've been in the driver's seat. You know, you and I could talk all day about the bad ones, but what do you see out there, the cliches that drivers are responding to and laughing at?
Oh, you guys pretty much nailed all the heavy hitters. There's a really good stat about Gen Z right now that I just read this article yesterday. 0% of any Gen Z applicant will fill out an application if they don't list the pay, because, you know, so many job applications you see, they'll say up to XYZ, or they just don't list the pay at all because they just want anybody with a pulse applying. So definitely competitive pay. Oh, it's a man. Oh man. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Competitive to what? Let's see. Yeah. Drivers, your the sign on bonuses. It's always, you know, they promise. Yeah. They promise you everything, like new equipment, you know, new to who,
And so have you ever had any of these happen to you? You know, you and I have swap stories, and I know you had a different driver experience. Have you ever had some of these cliches come around and kick you?
Yeah. Like I drove for a guy. So I went from like my first mega carrier that got me my CDL to driving for an owner operator. He had two trucks. He drove one, I drove the other. And that was like going from one extreme to the other. Cause now you're trying to, every paycheck is like pulling teeth. The trucks weren't in the greatest. The trucks were fast because they weren't governed, but like you wouldn't want to get them up to their max speed because you just don't feel safe driving them.
The death shake.
Yeah, so you got to find that, like, that happy medium. For me, what worked out best for me was finding a nice carrier with between 20 to maybe 100 drivers or units, because that way, like, everybody knows everybody. The guys that have been there have been around for a while. Talk to the drivers at any place that you're looking to apply at. They'll tell you real quick whether or not you know, they're telling the truth.
Paul and Josh did this really cool thing, the Pittsburgh Trucking Experience, where it was built off referrals and kind of cliches and all that, that compiled into this great video. If you guys haven't seen it, Google Pittsburgh Trucking. You'll get all kinds of great stuff. Justin, you being out there doing the job and now creating the content, I'm sure you come across great content that you turn into memes because it's just poor content in reality. I've seen some of it. So when you're seeing this stuff, like, what's the most common ones that you're seeing? And you just shake your head, like, what are these people doing? And I mean, I'd imagine you reach out and be like, hey, you guys need help.
Well, this time of year, definitely the winter driving accidents, people slipping and falling in the snow. You know, you hook up under a trailer, but that trailer's been parked there for a week, and now everything's iced up. You know, you gotta know how to, like, handle these situations before you get there. My cheat was always carrying a couple bags of kitty litter in the truck with me. And so many people I talked to are like, wait, kitty litter? Really? And, like, nobody, because most people want to use salt. It's fine. Salt will melt it, but if it's cold enough, whatever you melt is going to refreeze again. So use something that's, like, dirt-like, and then it gives you extra traction.
Well, and I would ask about that. So the idea that, like, you know, like, every company says, oh, if the conditions are bad, you shouldn't be driving. But a lot of companies put you in a position when the weather does come where they're like, well, are you sure you can't make it? Like,
that's why I would never, you could never get me to haul commercial freight ever again. I always, if you want to be able to avoid situations like that, haul hazmat, haul mail, haul military freight, stuff where the responsibilities are like off the scale. So it's really incumbent upon you as the driver to be the captain of that ship. You'll never get any kind of pushback from any of those kind of organizations of, oh no, the customer's waiting. You really got to get there. Push, push, push. They want nothing in the news.
And that's one of those cliches too. Is you're the captain of your ship, but then you get there and it's like, oh, I might as well be in an autonomous truck because you're telling me how to do the job, how to run, what's safe, what's not. And all you see is what's on Weather Channel and Google Maps.
Yeah, no, that's a really good one. And I use that cliche all the time. Thank you for pulling that out. Because at the end of the day, you are the captain of your ship, and not enough drivers treat themselves as if they are. We really need to have a resurgence of that come back.
So real quick, just for our listeners, because we have railed on this super hard. And, you know, Justin, while you're here, what are some things that companies could do to avoid these cliches? Because the answer is a lot of these are really easy devices to use. They've worked for a long time. Obviously, you know, like their welcome is worn very thin. But like, what can companies do to present themselves in a way without using these things?
That's a really good question. If you're going to use a tool like ChatGPT, ask ChatGPT for like some of the most common phrases and cliches used in some of these articles, and then erase them from your vocabulary. You really got to, writing copy is actually really hard. Like, I knew none of this when I joined FreightWaves, and I had to learn a lot of it. You know, Duner was really good at coaching me on all this. He uses the term punchy. So try to come up with stuff that's punchy. If you're reading it and you're getting bored, guess what? So are all your other potential driver candidates as well. You got to figure out what it is about you, your company specifically. And what, you know, if I'm already driving for somebody, why would I quit them and come work for you? You need to sell me on that.
No, I think that's important. You know, it's important to identify those things, and it's almost like finding your company's identity and honing in on that and refining that. But like Paul said, it becomes easy to defer back to these. We treat you like family. You're a name, not a number. But then in execution, we completely crap the bed and we do exactly what we say we're not doing. So if someone wanted to check out some of the stuff you're putting out there and try to see what it looks like when you're doing this properly, where could they find you, Justin?
The easiest place to find me is on Twitter/X. My handle is @supertrucker. The name is ironic. I am no better or worse than any other average steering wheel holder out there. I just thought it was a funny name when I came up with it, and it's stuck with me ever since.
Awesome. Well, hey, as always, thanks for being part of the show, Justin. Always excited to get you on here. So thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Well, I mean, this is some great stuff. Talking about some other great stuff out there and not being cliche. Let's give a huge shout out to Freight Bandit and his new publication. You guys should check him out if you don't want to sound cliche. Great area to start.
You know, another great thing to check out is, you know, What the Truck, which comes on next. I'd also love to hear Duner rate the strap work from that opening clip today. All right, Charles, send the people out.
Hey, guys, thanks for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Grayson.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson. See you next time.